We are looking at stress. We've looked at God's provision in stress. We've looked at the cause of it. We looked at it in times where we're the cause of it. We're looking at times where God has allowed it or God has caused it into our lives. And we've since, as of last week, transitioned over what to do about it. Sometimes dealing with stress is as complicated as the thing that's causing us stress. And nobody knows more about this than dear Esther. She was in a bad position. She never wanted to be in that position, never asked for that amount of responsibility to be dumped on her, never sat there, woke up in the morning going, hey, you know what I'd like? I'd like to be in a life or death situation over my people. Didn't want to be under Persian captivity, no doubt. Yet, there she was. And what I want to look at is the complexity of her situation. So for the next few weeks, we'll be kind of looking at this story to use what we've learned thus far to see what to do in complicated times. Right? Esther chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. Now, this is backed up in historical account. They actually found a tablet Ahasuerus himself, or Xerxes as they would have called him, wrote down, this is me, who I am, and this is the size of my reign, and it goes on to say a few more things, but we can identify him in history. Now, again, I don't need to do that. History is a very forgetful thing. We forget a lot of stuff. However, it always makes me smile when we find stuff like this. And we can say, hey, look, there he is, right there in the face of history. What a wonderful thing. That in those days, this is verse 2, when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 84 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. And it goes on and explains all the beautiful things and all the wonderful stuff that you could see. Verse 7, and they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance we see. So there's a lot of opulence, a lot of wonderfulness. Verse 9, now also Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zethar, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. Now, there's a few things we need to understand as we enter into this. We are looking at a months-long festival to celebrate this occasion for King Ahasuerus, this months-long festival. It ended in a seven-day feast. Now, we understand as you look into this word feast, refers to more of a drinking feast. And they sat around there, around the table, and they were drinking and having a good time, and King Ahasuerus is showing off everything. Hey, look at the tile. Look at my table. Look at my kingdom. Look, hey, let's come over here. Let's have a look at this. And they sat around, and for 7 days they were drinking, having a good old time. And all of a sudden, the king, as it says, he's merry in heart. He's lost his sobriety. He's lost his good thinking. Now, why do I say that? Because in Persia, in this time, they had modesty rules and laws for the women, much the way you would find in Sharia law today. They must be covered. Now pay close attention. What is it that King Ahasuerus wanted? Bring her down wearing the crown royal. I want everyone to see. You saw how beautiful my palace was. You saw how beautiful my decorations are. How beautiful the things that I own. You've seen my stables. You've seen everything wonderful. But now let me show you my wife. Even my wife is beautiful. What he wanted her to do is leave aside her modesty, leave aside the party that she was having, and come down and be paraded around in front of a bunch of drunken men. Now, ladies, that doesn't sound very tempting, does it? And men, that should sound just as foolish as it does for the women to us. That is foolishness, right? This is a human being. We're not treating that human being with dignity, respect, or kindness. Instead, we are treating her very much like a possession as anything else. Now, we also understand that somewhere around that area, the children of Israel are held in captivity again. In the book of Daniel, we see, this is Daniel chapter 11, I believe, is where we talk about the opulence and the military power and prowess of the Persian Empire. How wonderful it is. But these people, they are held captive. They do not have their freedom. They do not have their rights. So after a six-month festival and a seven-day feast, we see something that changes the entire history or the entire condition of God's people. Now, what is it that we see? Verse 12, but the Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was a bunch of men there. Forgive me for not reading it. But what shall, verse 10, what shall we do unto the Queen Vashti according to law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And they get into a discussion. And of course, you know what a bunch of drunken men deprived of this voyeurism that they were looking for would have said. We know what they said. Get rid of her. She doesn't want to do what we want her to do. She didn't listen to the king. Well, we might as well get rid of her. There was no respect for the laws that they had on their own books concerning how she was supposed to dress. There was no concern about the situation. I want you to understand as we go through the book of Esther that the entirety of the resolution that comes from the book of Esther started with a fight between a husband and a wife. It all starts right there. God used something very simple, such as an argument, a spousal argument. Many of us, we have had these. You might be having one right now. I don't know. Right? We've joked about that before. You're in the car. You get into the church. Oh, hi, how are you? Good to see you. Oh, we're doing swell today. A little fight. Well, why on earth would, you know, if Ashley could be sitting there going, why on earth has he gotten himself so drunk that he's forgotten that I'm not going to trade my dignity for to go down there and be abused by these men? She could have said, I can't believe this is happening in my life. And of course, Ahasuerus there, Xerxes, could have been sitting there saying, I can't believe my wife would shame me in front of all these people. Why would this happen to me after a six-month party? Everybody was feeling good. Everybody was excited after this festival. After the seven-day feast, we were all feeling really good. What would cause this to fall upon me? What we want to understand is we want to keep our stress to a perspective. To a perspective. I was talking to my cousin. I said, hey, listen, do you plan on coming to this or that? She says, I'm going to be honest with you. And I said, okay. She goes, no. And I go, oh, why? She goes, because I've got too much to do. And by the time I go to everything where everybody wants me to go, I'm tired, I'm wore out, it don't make no sense for me to do it. I go, oh, well, okay. She made a decision. Right? If what is stressing me out is the demands upon my time, I reevaluate the demands that are upon my time, I prioritize, and I answer those questions. What should King Ahasuerus should have done to avoid his stress? Well, listen, it probably would have been inappropriate for my wife to come on down here all decked up and gowned up like that just for me to show her off to a bunch of drunken men. I get it. And she very well could have sat there and said, hey, listen, make sure he knows, remind him that this would be an inappropriate thing for me to come down and do. Remind him that he's taking leave of his senses, right? Or tell him I'll come down in a couple hours if he quits drinking, see if he changes his mind. they didn't do any of those things. As a matter of fact, the children of Israel ought to be grateful that they did not handle stress properly. Sometimes there are small stresses we need to put back into the proper perspective. This stress among them, the fighting among them, took place only and solely because they chose to let it bother them. How often are we in a bad mood because we choose to let something bother us? Right? Perhaps you're sitting there and you're sitting in front of your Christmas tree. You got a hot cup of cocoa in your hand and you're sitting there. You got your feet propped up. You got your good slippers on and you look and you see there's a whole strand of lights out. Boom, boom. Never mind the cocoa. Never mind the warm slippers. Never mind the warmth of the house nor a place to put up your feet. But that one thing that matters very little in life bothers you, right? Oh, I tell you what, you know, you come into church and I think I did that last week. I came in, it was after the fellowship. I saw that the gate over here had fallen down. Anybody see that on Friday? Did you? Okay, well, it fell down again on Saturday. And I drove by that and I'm like, oh, went in there, grabbed me some nails. No, I didn't. I didn't care. We had a hammer and nails sitting right there. Now, of course, hammer and nails is not the way I wanted to fix it, but Sunday was coming and I didn't have time. So tap, 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 tap. Took me 30 whole seconds, went about my day. Didn't think about it again till just now for the sake of an illustration. I love things like that. You run out of stuff to make illustrations out of, right? No, it doesn't bother. It shouldn't bother you. Well, I can't believe this and I can't believe that. You're sitting there, you're coming into the house, and I used to do this. I used to be guilty of this, having such a rough day at work. All of a sudden, you got to come home and make that everybody's problem. Well, you won't believe this happened and that happened. And you're sitting there at dinner and you're waxing eloquent about all the awful stuff that happened to you that day at work, not realizing that everybody had a perfectly good day until you came home and started grumbling. Right? We need to put things into perspective, right? Eventually, I had to get to the point where I'm telling myself, that stuff already happened. That stuff was already solved. Leave it there. Small things, put them into their proper perspective. Now, again, we are grateful that these two had no idea what they were doing in life. No idea what they were doing in marriage. Because otherwise, the story would have ended right here. Aren't you glad God doesn't write a story that ends real fast like that? There's some more things there. So we see this fight going on. We see all the way over to verse 22 where we're pushing and we're fighting and we're getting rid of her and we got to replace her and we got to get a new queen. Chapter 2, verse 1. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. And they did. They brought all these women together and they brought a harem together and they were slowly wheedling down. I don't know how Esther got into the group. I don't know how it came outside of the fact that God put her there. Not a practice we would practice today. I want you to remember that when we read this, this was a wicked and perverse nation. The Bible does not back up this behavior. It's just saying that it was there. And of course, we see that down through history, where this kind of treatment of women was taken care of, this kind of treatment of marriage was done. And the Bible does not condone it. As a matter of fact, in many passages of Scripture, Jesus Christ himself condemns this sort of behavior. But all the same, that is the behavior that a wicked Persian king would do. So often you'd read in the Old Testament where God wiped out entire nations, and people would sit there and say, well, if God was so nice and good and just, why would he do that to them? And then we sit there and we look at this kind of behavior and we say, oh, that's just so disgusting. If it's disgusting to us, what must it look like to God, who designed marriage to be in such a way? And of course, we're going to sit there and thumb our nose at him through this behavior. So this is why God wiped many society off of the books. And this is why God will continue to do so for as long as we are here being wicked. But they begin to look and fight and search for this woman, and they go through this process. Verse 5, we see, now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. For she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So we see the entry of her marks the distinct transition in this opening section from one of just a historical understanding of how wicked Ahasuerus was. Now we're looking at the namesake of the book. Here comes Esther in chapter 2. And we see her very much as the hero of this story. Why? Because she was. She stood up. She did what was right. She took risk upon herself. She took danger upon herself to do the right thing. When the opportunity arose, or when the situation happened, to where her people were under threat, she stood up and she did something about it. Now again, how do we see that? What does that mean for us? That there are many things in our life that are solely there because we refuse to do anything about it. I was talking to the boys. We were cleaning up under the couch. It's one of my favorite things to do every month is to move the couch out and find half my children's belongings. We sweep them out, and oh, that's mine, and oh, that's mine. And they do that every time. I've been looking for this for forever. Oh, I haven't seen this forever. And they get all excited. It's like Christmas morning all over again. They're getting the toys back. Oh, we found it. And if I told them, I said, hey, listen, guys, this is what happens when you don't put your stuff away. So what happens? It gets lost. It gets swept under the couch. And now look, here we are. Instead of you going to play, we are here moving couches to find the junk underneath it. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. Now listen, we're not there yet. We're still finding large amounts of stuff under the couch, but we're going to get there one day where they put it together. If I don't want my fancy gadget to be lost under the couch, I need to make sure that I've got it lifted up and put somewhere else, right? It'll be a while. We'll get there though. But we as adults, we have no excuse when we've got problems in our lives that are simply there because we haven't done anything about it. I've got my calendar that I do. There's a handful of projects that I just move from one week to the next. And you know what I do? I grumble every time I do it. What's wrong with you? Why didn't you get that done? That would have taken you 2 minutes. That would have taken you a half hour. That could have taken you 2 hours. And you never would have had to write this down again. We could have just been done with it. And I'm sure each and every one of us have that happen where we've got to move something from our to-do list from today to tomorrow. And then tomorrow became today. And here it is. And we're writing it off again. Now, we need to address things. How many relationships could we mend if we picked up the phone and had a 10-minute phone conversation and we got a friend back? We got a relative back. What things could be done if we just decided that we were going to put in the work and be an effect on it? Esther could have sat there, enjoyed her role as queen, and let the children of Israel in captivity die. And she could have had a fantastic life. But she had a thing called morals. She had a thing called love. She had decency and a respect for both her people and for the Lord. And when it came down to it, she decided that she was going to be the solution to the problem in her life. So often we fail to fix the stress in our lives because we don't do anything about it. When I would talk to different properties and there'd be issues going on there, and I would go there to help with the sales staff, and I would sit there and say, all right, well, who answers the calls? And it would always be the new person who would answer all the calls for the property, but the sales calls would be quickly snapped up by somebody else. So if you looked at the caller ID and you saw a resident, they'd leave it alone. They didn't recognize the number or the name. Hi, how are you? So they would get all the sales. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We need to put it in place here. If you're available, you pick up the phone. and we need to change your idea of what's available. Did you know that after we would do that, things would go a whole lot better? We would put some things into place that would make everybody feel a little bit better. The moment I would leave, guess what would happen? Go right back to it. 4 months later, one of the supervisors would come to me and say, "Hey, Matt, listen, when you were over there, things were running a little bit better, right?" "Yeah, well, you said it. We read your report. You said it was going better." "Yeah, absolutely. This is the metrics that I can use to show you everything was going great. Everybody was in a great mood." Well, they stopped doing it, so something's wrong again. I go, something's wrong. I go, "Something wrong, or is something wrong again?" That was my favorite phrase is, "Maybe something is wrong again." Right, we'll sit there and we'll deal with sin in our lives. And we'll sit there and say, "Well, I never can get the best of it." Why? Is it because you've got the same old problem again? You didn't change anything from the first time you failed. So guess what? You failed again. You're sitting there saying, "Hey, listen, for the Lord, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to serve the Lord in this way. I'm going to live more happy. I'm going to show the fruit of the Spirit more," whatever your goal is. And then you come to the end of it and you realize you failed. Want to know why you failed? Because you didn't change enough, or you didn't change at all the things you were doing. Your approach has to change. You have to lay aside the sin. You have to put the practice in. You have to do the work. In her life, she would sit there and she could have very easily, hypothetically, and I want to make sure we understand that it's hypothetically, because I do believe the Lord would have worked against her if she disobeyed, but she could have had all of the splendor her mind could imagine. However, it's hypothetical only. And that's what we do. I can't give up this sin because I will miss out on the small amount of good feeling that it gives me. I can't start doing this because that will take time. Never mind the fact that we waste time on lesser noble pursuits, but we don't want to give up that time. Oh no, I would do that. I would help out in that way. But I tell you what, I need I'd give the money, but I need the money for, you know, fast food runs and things like that. Oh, my friends, we need to really put into perspective what it is we think we're going to have, what kind of life we think we're going to have by disobeying the Lord. Right? Again, we talk about how we treat or talk to children, right? When we're talking about those who are in driver's training, we don't give them the whole thing, do we? We give them a little bit, by a little bit, by a little bit. Why do we do that? Because you're not a good driver when you're young. But you know what every young person believes in themselves? They are the best driver ever. Right? There was a guy who one time in my high school, he lost his driver's license before he graduated high school. You ever meet anybody like that? He believed that he could always, he knew the town so well, and he could drive so wonderfully that he could get by the cops. The guy had a Bronco that was older than me. Well, at the time it wasn't really all that bad, but he had a 30, 40-year-old car. That car couldn't outrun the dust he was kicking up. It was rough. And he'd get caught again and again and again. Why? Because in his mind, I've got it good. I can go fast. I can go well. I can go smart. And he gets it into his head, this is what I'm going to have. I'm not willing to trade what I'm doing for something better. Well, he didn't graduate with a driver's license. He didn't win much. Well, when I graduate, I'm going to go get a full-time job and I'm going to buy this car. Well, buddy, you have a problem. Because now you don't have a car to get to the job. Because when you had the opportunity, you blew it. Folks, that can be us. That can be us. We believe that we can create something better in our lives by disobeying things that just make sense, right? Well, did you drive fast? Yes, that's why you got a speeding ticket. Did you drive fast again? Yes, that's why you got another one. Did you drive really, really fast and do something incredibly foolish? Yes, that's why they took that driver's license away. Oh, no, you don't understand. I can handle it. I can handle it. You know, I ever see that television show Bear Grylls? or one of those things that he's a survivor. They'll drop him off in the middle of somewhere. I'm not entirely sure I believe these shows. I think they're playing with us. But I'm out here for, and he's sitting there freshly shaved. I've been out here for 7 days drinking nothing but urine and eating bugs. Well, all right, Timon and Pumbaa, I kind of believe you. Yeah, that's probably fun for some folks to watch, but is that a way to live? No, there's a reason why we watch that on our television sets from our couch with, again, the cup of cocoa. We like it there. You know, belly full of food that, you know, never had to get, a stump never had to get kicked over for us to have. Right? We enjoy that stuff. Maybe you don't. I know I don't. I don't like watching that stuff. That stuff scares me a little bit. But the point I'm trying to make is this. We're going the hard way. Well, I'm tough. I can do this. Yeah, but you don't have to. You don't have to go it the hard way. You don't have to fight against all common sense. All you've got to do is see what God says and do it. And it comes in the form of this. Well, I have to lie. Otherwise, it will cause a large problem. No. Tell the truth. Trust me. Well, I have to steal a little bit here or there. I've got to cheat the system just a little bit so that I can get here, and from there, everything will be good. You can't practice sin and it not become a bigger part of your life. Also, theft is theft. Lying is lying. Cheating is cheating. We don't do those things. So yeah, anybody who sat there could have said, Esther, you would have had a wonderful life. Everything would have been dandy and great and wonderful and just lovely for you if you would have just stayed in the palace. Everybody would have loved you. Everybody would have thought that you were fantastic. But folks, that is not the way that life works. Armed with a natural beauty that exceeded all the others and assisted by the Council of Haggai, Esther had made her entrance. If not pleased, the king could send her to join the rest of the concubines under the authority of Shashgaz, where she might never have been called upon again. But what did she do? Lord worked it out. Lord worked it out. As we read through, we see the grueling process that would have come down to it. And if she was brought before the king and he wasn't very pleased with her looks, he could have sent her back out to be, you know, a concubine. He could have done anything he wished. Right? Again, wicked, awful people. But the Lord worked it out. You know, there are moments. And again, it's hard for me to say that he worked it out because, again, this is still an awful situation to have to be in for Esther. I don't want to romanticize the fact that he chose her in any way possible. This is not Ruth and Boaz. This is Esther and some awful, awful man. Okay? I want to be very clear. I don't want to make this sound pretty. This was ugly. But the Lord put her into a position where she could do the best. Sometimes you and I are not in good spots. Sometimes we get accepted into bad spots, and we can sit there and we can honestly rack our head going, how did this happen? How am I here in front of this awful king, standing in front of a bunch of women that, you know, we're all fighting to be the wife of this guy that doesn't know how to have a wife, right? How could this happen? Sometimes we need to look to see what it is that we can best do in a situation. Not what we can get out of every situation, but what can I do to be a betterment in this situation? What Esther chose to do is in the worst situation of her life, in a situation you and I probably could not even comprehend, she chose to do the right thing. She did not give in to despair, did not give in to awfulness. We really don't even know how she felt about being married to this King Ahasuerus. We don't know. But what we do know is she was there by the Lord's design. Many of us were in bad situations, sometimes even the worst situations, by design. Why? Well, in Esther's case, it was so that she could do something for the betterment of all people. And that's not an unkind thing to have to go through to be there. We look at military personnel. They get beat up one side, down the other. Why? To fight for our freedoms. They've got to be tough. They've got to be strong. You and me, sometimes the lights, we're supposed to be what? We're supposed to be that candle burning bright, right? Candles melt under the heat. It's not a very good job for a candle, is it? Right? It's rough. Sometimes we're going to burn a little. Sometimes, and being the salt, we get consumed. We get spread out. It is very difficult to be a Christian. But in the difficulty of the Christian life, we're supposed to be making decisions that best represent the Lord and that helps others. We think, for instance, in church membership. I know somebody just recently, they were talking about how their church, how do I put this nicely? That whenever they needed something, they would call the church. And that's a good thing. You should call me. If you need something, call me. But they never attended church. They never showed up. They never went. They never, when it come down to a prayer meeting or something like that. And it wasn't because of illness. Sometimes you can't be at church because of illness. Sometimes you can't be at church for a long period of time because of illness. Now, I've got a limit to that before I start to get suspicious. I'm not dumb. But they never did anything. But if they needed a couch moved, and a couch was a very specific thing that they gave me. Well, I needed a couch moved, and they came over and moved it. I needed this done out in my stables and that. They came out and they did that. But nowadays, I can't get them to come over. I go, are you sure you are still a member? Because you might not be. Right? Non-attendance is a very serious thing. And I've got some patience, but my patience only goes for so long. And I'm hoping that mine is matched up with where the Lord's is. Right? It's possible you might not be a member. Number two, they might have picked up the fact that you didn't want a church to be a part of. You wanted a church to be a part of you. You wanted them to come work for you. You wanted them to be an extent. You wanted some to get something out of church. Right? Which is important. We should get something out. But you know what we should also do? We should give something in. You put in, I put in. Now, what about those who have physical, financial, or whatever? Like you're sick or whatever, your body is limited. What about them? Then it's our job to take care of you. But when you can, you put in. And then everybody else puts in. And guess what happens? We all benefit. We all benefit. Very simple illustration, a fellowship. You bake a pie. I get the chicken. Somebody gets the green beans. Everybody eats a good meal, right? You put in money for the light bill. I put in money for the light bill. Everybody gets to see, right? You pray, I pray. You do kind things to people who are struggling. I do kind things to people who are struggling. Everybody reaps the benefits. And who are we really serving in the end? We are serving the Lord. And that is why we do it. Right? Sometimes we are in a bad situation, and the Lord has put us there so that the next time we see somebody else in that situation, we learn to have some compassion, because sometimes we lack compassion. Sometimes we needed to be molded. Sometimes we lose awareness. We forget what it's like that other people have problems we know nothing about, and we can't comprehend. So what does that teach us? A little bit of decency. Little bit of kindness towards things we don't quite understand. So in these moments, we have to see ourselves as being put there, or at least allowed to be there, by God. Think about Paul. The entire ship around Paul broke up and collapsed, right? But the Lord knew, but he knew what the Lord had intended for him. So there was no need for the stress. What is the stress again? The stress is the amount of workload. It's the amount of pain or discomfort that something may bring, right? Loss causes stress. Large amount of work, you know, if I've got a lot of stuff to do, it causes stress. If I don't have all the answers or the resources, that causes stress. Now, that amount of stress in my life creates what I like to call emotional friction. That's where frustration, depression, irritation, short-temperedness, that's where that all comes from. Sometimes we call the emotion stress. It's not. The stress is the things that's causing the emotion. What do we got to do? We got to put our hands on those things that are causing that and see what we can do about having an effect on them. We've talked about it previously, of course. What about things like Esther here? She had no say in any of this, except for what she was going to do. And folks, that is us from A to Z. Sometimes we're in a situation we had nothing to do with. We had no choice over. And the only choice we have is over how we're going to react. So that's where we're going to leave this study for now, that we are in a position, whatever stress is, whatever is causing us stress, we are there for a reason. And the only option we may have, the only choices we may have, may be over our own decisions. And those decisions should always be for the betterment of that situation. Yeah? Not to make it worse. Right? If you got financial stress, going out to the Golden Corral for lunch on a Saturday is not good. Right? Well, it makes me feel better. Makes you feel better. Makes the situation worse. Well, I tell you what, I've got a drinking problem, and at least my wife says I got a drinking problem, so she left me. So what'd you do? Well, I got real drunk, so I didn't have to feel it anymore. I made it worse, didn't it? Oh, I don't know. You know, oh man, I just, you know, I have a hard time getting up early for church, have a hard time praying, have a hard time doing this. Well, what's going on? Well, I get sucked into that TV a lot. Throw that thing out. If it's got an effect on you, throw it out. Well, you got a TV? Yeah, I got a TV. It knows how to turn off, though. I know how to walk away from that thing. As a matter of fact, we don't have it on very much. Kids will use it to play video games. We'll watch movies or sports. You know, if something's on that interests us, we'll have that on. But we know how to turn it off and go do something else. If you've got something you can't turn off, you need to get rid of that thing. Right? Be it the television, be it food, be it whatever it is that's causing you issues, you cut it out. Why? Because you're only making it worse. You're not having a good effect. As a matter of fact, you're participating in things that make it worse. Right? So what do? We got to be like Esther. I did not ask for the situation. Not a pleasant situation. Can't even pretend what she was going through is a love story, right? This is not the way you dream of getting married, right? Not the kind of man you'd want to be married to. Not the position anybody would choose, but it was the one she had. Why? Because wicked, wicked people were doing wicked, wicked things. But we can control what we do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for the examples that you give us in Scripture. Grateful for Esther, who in the worst of all situations one could imagine, complete captivity, and not just as a slave, but as somebody who's used in a very perverse, or somebody who's destined to be used in a very perverse way. Lord, she made right decisions. She kept the soundness of her mind, and she came to you. Lord, we know that we can find ourselves in all sorts of things that are unpleasant and awful. And Lord, I know that in those moments, you will give us knowledge, you will give us wisdom. And I pray, Father, that you walk with us every step of the way to keep supplementing us with those things as well as strength, that, Lord, we may make better the situations around us. For its name in Jesus we pray. Amen.